So today is the last class about CSCW, and we'll talk about a slightly different topic to end. So this time we'll talk about software, collaborative software development, and especially more about how we can develop software with multiple people and how we can organize a team when you work on software development. And it might be also very interesting for you, for your project. So the idea of collaborative software development is, of course, you have multiple users that will work on the same project. So it could be remote, so like you can have people spread all over the world that want to work on the same project. But it could be also co-located, where you can have several people in the same room that want to work on the same project. Usually, each one works on its own computer. And it's a kind of asynchronous collaboration because each one can add new stuff in the project, for example, and can work on different tasks and can also work at different times. So it's not always like we are working together at the same time. It could be like when people is working during some period of time, while some other will work in some other period of time. So that's why we call about asynchronous collaboration, because we are not all collaborating at the same time. And we will see that collaboration is very hard to organize, and even more for software development, because you could have several versions of the code, you have to synchronize between users, you have to distribute the task, and you also need to manage all the social aspects about the collaboration, like people that don't want to work with some other, or this kind of thing. So today we will focus on some of this topic, and especially we'll talk more at the beginning about the technical side, how we can help with software to collaborative software development, and in particular we'll talk about version control, so how we can synchronize the work of several users and how we can control many versions of the project. We will also talk about continuous integration, which is also a bit a part of the technical part, how you can manage collaboration with continuous integration. And in the last part, we'll more talk about the social aspect, how you can organize the team, and we'll see several methods for collaborative software development. So as the first part, I start with this technical part about version control. So maybe first, a quick question to you. So do you know what is version control?
Yes.
Yes, all of you? So I see no. So version control is like, it's to use a software that will store several versions of your project. And usually you know it through Git. I think Git is the most well-known version control software, so Git or SVN. And so how many of you already use Git or SVN? Just to have an idea. And how many of you are using it for the project, currently for the project? Like, yeah, that's not a lot of people. So the idea of version control, and we want to solve a big issue. In particular, we want to avoid to share manually the file. You probably, when you collaborate on a project, it's already happened to you to share the files through email, through USB key, and you really, I think, or Dropbox, and maybe you already see some issues, and it starts to become a mess because you have several versions of the file, you don't know how to merge them together, and it creates a lot of issues. You can override the file of your friend and this kind of thing. So we want to avoid to manually share the file. We want to avoid to delete or override the file of the other. And we also want to avoid that someone broke the project by mistake. And that you and if someone broke it by mistake, you want to be able to recover the project and not broke the project and be in a very inconsistent state where you cannot fix it again. So this is what we want to avoid, and what we want to be able to do is to edit the project at the same time. So you want that many users can edit the project at the same time. You want to keep an history of all the modifications, And you want also to keep the older version of the file, because if someone goes wrong, you want to be able to go back to the previous version, or maybe for some reason at some point you will need to go back to some other version of the project. So you want to keep everything like that. So I think I have an image that illustrates this problematic. I think it's really what you want to avoid. So here it's for data, but it could be the same for a project. So you have many versions of the project. You have the date and some kind of comments. And you have test, retest, re-retest, calibrate, ooh, what the fuck, some issue and so on. And you see, like, at the end, it starts to be a mess. And you have many versions of the project. You don't know which one is a good one. And if you want to recover something, it's really difficult. So if you are working alone, still, probably you can manage with this kind of thing because you are alone, you know what you put in all this command here. So maybe you can manage it. But as soon, I think you easily understand that as soon as you are many users working in the same project, if you, you start to do something like that, it's very hard to collaborate and it's, it will create many issues. So to solve that, one option is to use a version control software. So the goal of this software is to save and restore different versions of all the files of the project, is to synchronize the version of the different user, is to keep track of the modification, but also of who did the modification. Because then if, for example, someone broke the project, you want to be able to know who broke it and ask him, what did you do, why it's not working anymore. So you need to know who do the modification. So the idea of this version control software is to have keep track of all the modification plus the author of this modification. And we'll see a bit later, you also want to create some different version of the project at the same time and manage this different version of the project. And what it's what we call branching, so create new branches of the project. So of course, it's used a lot for software development, but it could be also used in many other different applications, so like reports, image, data from experiment, and this kind of thing. For example, in our team, we are using SVN for all the papers that we are writing, because it's a good way to manage the collaboration. So now I think it's kind of important to understand a bit how this version control software will work before using it, because you will see that there is different possibility, especially about the architecture of this software. And if you don't understand this, it starts to be a bit hard to use them properly. So mainly we have two kinds of architecture. We have some centralized architecture. I will show you how it's worked in that case, and some decentralized architecture. Like those centralized ones are more the old one, like CVS or SVN, and new ones are more using decentralized or kind of hybrid architecture. So because you have the decentralized one, and you can also have some kind of hybrid architecture where one of the peer will be a server. So I think it's easier to understand with this kind of this figure. So in the centralized architecture, you will have a server that will store all the modification history. So all the different versions of the file will be stored on the server. And each developer will only have on its own computer only one version of the file, the current version of the file. And he will so own and modify the last version of the file here and here. But it will not store the history here. On the contrary, on the decentralized architecture, everybody will store the modification history here and here. And we also have, of course, the latest version of the file, and we'll be able to perform some modification of the latest version of the file. But all of them will have all the versions on their computer and will be able to share it with the other user. So on the last one is a hybrid architecture, so it's quite similar to the previous one, instead that one peer here is a server that will store all the version of the file, but all the user will have it here.
So I think I will take two examples about that to explain you a bit how it works. So the first one is SVN.
So SVN is one centralized architecture. So the idea, we say that you have the modification history on the server, the local copy on each client. And so there is some specific vocabularies to SVN, but I think we find these vocabularies in many version control software. So what they call repository is the history, the modification history on the server here. What they call working copy is the current version of the project on each developer computer. And then you have a bunch of action. So the first one is the action called checkout. So the idea of the checkout action is just to retrieve from the server the last version of the project. Then you check out the last version of the project on your computer. You can achieve modification on it. And then you will want to send this modification to the server. So the send modification is the action called commit, which means that you will send back the modification on the server. Maybe if this user want to now get the latest version of the project, he will have to do what they call update to receive the modification on his computer. So the idea is at the checkout at the beginning, you grab all the project. Maybe you will modify one or two files. You send them to the server with a commit, and then the other user could retrieve this modification by doing an update of their project. You have also a bunch of other actions like revert. Maybe you have done some modification, you break the project, it doesn't compile anymore, and you don't know what you did. So you don't know. So maybe you can restore your file to the latest version that is stored on the server. So this is quite useful because sometimes you do something wrong and you don't know why, so you just can recover the proper version of the file from the server. You also have some other action, like you can do the difference between your own version and the version stored on the server. You can log all the modifications done by all the users. So you can ask to the server to give you the list of modifications with the author of all these modifications. And you can also get the status of your own current version and to know which file you have modified and so on. So the drawbacks of this centralized architecture is that first, you only have one access point to the data. So if the servers crash, you lose everything. You just have one communication point between all the users. So everything has to go through the server. So if also the server crash, you cannot collaborate anymore. You only have one historic of the file. And the biggest issue to me, and we will see that here, creating a new version and sharing it with the other is exactly the same action. So when you modify a file, so you create a new version, you send it to the computer, to the server, and then so you're creating a new version, but you're also sharing it directly with the other. And in that case, you really need to have a stable version before doing the commit, because since you are sharing it with the other, if you are sharing a wrong version, it's a bit bad because they will get the wrong version. And so you cannot try to do some tests and save them. And then, because the other one will receive the test with a wrong thing. So that's why, like for example, Git addressed this issue of doing a different thing for sharing and doing a new version of the project. So here in Git, so you will see that there is also a bunch of actions that are a bit similar. So as I saw before, Git is using a hybrid architecture. So we have also a server, some developers, but here the modification history is shared between everybody. So in that case, you will have a remote and local repository. So the remote repository is the one on the server. The local repository is the one on your own computer. And you will also have some working copies, that is this file here, that is the current version of the project. So you will have here some kind of different action, but that are a bit similar. So instead of doing a checkout, you will do what they call clone action. So the clone action means that you will retrieve the full modification history from the remote repository on your computer. So you will copy all the modification history on your own computer. So you will have here the modification history. Once you get the full project and the full modification history on your computer, you can start to do some modification. So in that case, you will be able to do a commit. So in that case, the commit is quite different from the one from SVN. Instead of sending the modification to the server, it will just create a new version of the file on your own local computer. So it's very important to understand this difference because it's totally different here. So here, when you do a commit, you don't send the modification to the server, but you just create a new version of the file or your own local computer. Then you will have two actions. So the pull, first maybe the push action. So the push action means that you will send then your modification to the server. So you will send the new version that you have created on your own local computer to the server. And the pull action is the reverse. You will try to grab the new version of the file from the server. So maybe if you want to, now it starts to be a bit more complicated if you want to create a new version and share it with your collaborators, because you have to do several actions. So first you have to do a commit, and then you have to push this commit to the server. So it's a bit not an issue, but it adds an additional step. But on the other way, it's very good because then you will be able to separate the fact that you can create a new version and the fact that you will send it to the other user. So here also, you will have a reset. Like it's not revert on Git, it's reset, but the idea is the same. You will grab the oldest version from the server and re-emplace your current version of your computer. And you have also a bunch of action like the diff, the log, and the status of your current local repository. So the good practice here is you will work on your local copy, of course. And before sending the modification, you need to do a bunch of things. So first, you need to check if the code compiles locally, because there is no sense to send some code that doesn't compile on the server. So once your code is working properly on your own computer, you need to check if the other user have done some update before you, because you are collaborating at the same time, and sometimes some user can do modification at the same time. So you need to check that if they have done some update at the same time than you need to check that. And sometimes you will see it's a bit like you have done everything, it's working well, and you check for update, and you see that your partner have done a bunch of update, and you say, and it breaks what you have done, and it could be an issue. So that's why it's important to first check for update. You could have conflict because you could have modified the same file, the same part of the code. So in that case, you have to manage the conflict if there is some conflict. Then you need to check again if the code compile with the update from your partners, because maybe it will break something. And when it's once you are sure that you have the up-to-date version of the code and that it compiles, you can share the code on the server. So it's very important to respect this order because it avoids many issues. And it depends on the version of the software, but sometimes it doesn't allow you to do to share the modification if you didn't have do the update before. Just to finish on Git, the good thing is that you can now create some new version of the file on your local computer, but share them only when you want. So it's very good because when you work, you can create many versions. So when you have something that have an interesting state for you, you can save a version. Maybe you can do some modification, you can save a version. And if something goes wrong, you can go back to some older version. But this is your own work, and it doesn't impact the work of the other in that case. And once you have a stable version that you are happy with, then you can share it.
And that's why it's very different, and it's important to understand that. So yeah, in Git, you can do as many commits as you want because it doesn't impact the other. And I think it's important to try to think about doing some commit very regularly to avoid issues or to avoid to lost some code and so on. So now I say just before that maybe you will have some conflict because user will modify the same file. So in this kind of software, usually you can modify the same file together, but at different parts of section. And the software is usually able to merge the file if you did not modify the same part of the file, of course. So it's good because you can work on the same file. You just have to work at different parts of the file. If the user modifies the same part of the file, here you will have an issue. So you can have a conflict in that case. So I think it's easy to understand that if you really modify the same line, for example, in the file, the software cannot know which one is the proper one. So in that case, you have a conflict, and you will need to fix this issue. So usually it cannot be resolved automatically because the software cannot know which one is good and which one is bad. So it will ask the user to fix this conflict. So there is usually two ways to fix the conflict. It's to tell the system which version is the correct one. So you say my version is the correct one, the one of the other is older or something like that. And you can, but sometimes you will also have both do some interesting modification in both versions, and you will need to merge them to be sure that like you integrate the modification of the two users. So you have several solutions to do the conflict management. So one example is what you can have with SVN when you are using it in console mode. So just an example to show you how you can do you can deal with a conflict. So here the user is doing like SVN update, and the system discovers that there is a conflict in this test.txt, and you will have to manage this conflict. So in that case, it creates several files. So you have the original version of the file. It saves you your version of the file to tell you that this is your version of the file. So, and it sends you also like some other version of the file. So this is the oldest version of the file. And this is like the number here is the number of the file. The number, the version number of the file. So second was the oldest one before the conflict. Three is the one that is in conflict with my file. Here, this is my file. And here is like we see that this one is a kind of merge of all the modification. And so you have several ways to do that. So either you can just keep one. So I say mine is the better, so I keep mine. Or the one from the other is better, I keep the one from the other, or maybe I want to restore the oldest one. So this is one solution, you can just keep one of these five. And the other option is to try to merge the modification. So in that case, you can go in this test.txt, and you will see that the system has done some weird thing. It has added this comment on the file directly, and that show you the conflicting line. For example, here we have two lines in conflict. So in my file, I have this line here, and in the file from the server here, I have this line. So I need to choose one of the other, or maybe combine these two lines, remove the comment, and then I can solve the conflict like that. So of course, you see that it works for a small file. But if you have very big files, sometimes it's a bit an issue. So you have some tool to manage this conflict. So I will show you an example here. So here is this tool is from Tortoise Merge. That is a tool from Tortoise SVN that helps you to fix conflict. So first, you have a tool to show you the difference between the files. So you will see, I don't know here, but maybe your version of the file and the version from the server of the file. And you can check what are the modifications and what are the differences between the two files. And then you can have also a tool to really merge
the file and try to fix it. So here again, you have here is the version from the server. Here is your version of the code, and here is a merge version that you can edit. You can by doing so, like taking part from the two files and trying to merge them in a single one. And at the end, you will keep the one here that is the proper version of the file. So there is also another tool that I like a lot. It's the Smart Git. So it's a tool from Smart Git that helps you also to do this merging. So it will help you to detect the lines that are the same and help you, because the issue that you can have sometimes, because it's usually based on the line, if someone add a new line, it's an issue. And sometimes you want to keep everything, but it's just because it's written on the same line that it creates issue. So for example, here we have the same line here, so this one is fine, it's not in conflict. But then you have here someone that writes something, but someone that writes something else. And I think both are interesting, you want to keep both, but the only issue you have is that they are written on the same line, and that's why it creates a conflict. And maybe here, the last one, you want to merge it in something different, but that's another issue. So in that case, the Smart Git tool, it's quite interesting because it shows you the difference and help you to choose if you want to keep or remove the modification. So if you see here, you have your version, you have the version from the server, and here you have the merge version. So you see that for the first line, there is no issue. For the second line here, it shows you that it has introduced it here. This line has been introduced here, so it helps you to keep the two lines. And then you can still choose, if you click on the cross, I think, you can remove the line if you don't like it. But it shows you how it merges, it helps you to merge and show you how it merges the two different files. And the last one, it shows you that there is really a conflict, and if you want to edit it, you can do something like that.
So I think this tool is quite nice to help you to manage conflict. The last thing to avoid conflict is there is also a lock mechanism in most of the version control software. And the idea of this lock mechanism is that users are able to lock a specific file. And in that case, only the user who locks the file can modify it. So it's good because if you are doing something very critical or big changes in the file, for example, you are moving all the lines because you're just doing some formatting on the text, but you want really to avoid that it creates many issues with all the other users. So in that case, you can lock the file. Here, you are sure that you will be the only one modifying the file. And if another user try to lock the file, you will receive an error message saying someone else already locked the file. You cannot lock it. And so it's good because you will be sure that you are the only one doing some modification of the file. The issue is that you really have to think to unlock manually the file when you have finished your work, because if you don't unlock it, the other user will not be able to work on it. This lock mechanism could be useful in some specific case, but we try to avoid it because, of course, it also prevents the other from working. So it could be a bit an issue. So the last thing about version control, it's quite interesting because it will allow different collaborative scenarios. And I talk about them here because it's part of the collaborative CSCW class. So I think it's interesting to create several collaboration scenarios. And we will see some of them. So in the centralized mode here, it's like very standard scenario. It's you have one server that stores the file and everyone can contribute. But as soon as you have some decentralized architecture, like with Git, you could have more interesting scenario because you will have some interpersonal communication. Because everybody has the full version and the full modification history of the project on his own local computer. Of course, he can communicate with the server, but you can also share version among some specific user
without going through the server and going through all users. So maybe you will won't be able to do some tests with your friend, saying him only the version of your new version of your new development only to this person. He can do some tests, and maybe at some point you will be able to share it with everybody on the server. So I show you some example of that here. So you can have the what is called integrator mode. So here you have many developers that work on a project, but they will send the modification to one server that will be in charge of doing some tests. And it could be a different server than the one that shares the project with everyone. But if you want to test your project, you can send the modification to the server. It will do some automatic tests and give you a feedback about if your project is working or not. And you will see a bit later in the continuous integration that this kind of server is quite useful because it can test your project, but it can compile it for example, many operating system or this kind of thing. You can do some very advanced tests that you cannot do on your own local computer. A second scenario is the one that is used a lot in the open source project, and it's called dictator mode. So here you will have a different layer of developer. And so here there is only two, but you can imagine that you have many level of developer. And in that case, you have what they call lieutenant that make a first check before sending it to the dictator. So you have here like contributor, but you know that in open source project, sometimes everybody can contribute, but sometimes you don't want to integrate the modification of everybody because maybe some people will do some bad stuff. So you have several levels. So you have the contributor that create some modification in the code, send it to some guy that will integrate the modification, check them, and if they like it, they will send it to a final guy that will validate definitively the modification and send him to the production server or the server that will share it with everybody. And in that case, you avoid that one user can share wrong code or code with bug or this kind of thing. It's also useful if you are a multi-location team, especially now you know that in big company you have development team in country, and the issue is that you also have big time difference sometimes with the two country, and so some people are working while the other are sleeping, and the reverse. And it could be an issue because if you are doing some wrong stuff on your side, then you go back home, and then the other are stuck during all the day because you have done some wrong stuff on your project. So sometimes you can use two servers, that one is for each country, for example. And in that way, each team can work independently on its own server. And regularly, you can, of course, integrate and synchronize the server from both country, maybe here. And it's quite efficient because during the day, you can all work on the server, test your modification locally. And when you have a proper version, you send it to your collaborator and so on. So yeah, this is, we'll see that there is a bit, even more example of that a bit later. But yeah, the idea is to understand that it's much more flexible because you have this interpersonal communication. The last thing of the version control is the historic management. Because, it's not the last thing, because we'll also talk about branching just after. But one thing is the historic management. So we say that you will store several versions of every file or of your project in your modification history. And the idea is to compute, so the computation of the historic is usually linear, according to the commit order. So you start from the first version of the project, and as soon as someone is doing a commit, so it could be locally on your computer if you are using Git, or on the server if you are using a centralized architecture as SVN, but each time is someone is creating a commit, you are creating a new version of the project. So you have the project here, someone modify the file and do a commit, you go to the second version of the project, and usually we call this version revision. And so you have a number, what they call number of revisions, that is means that it's the number of versions. So here we are in revision 6, so it means you are in the version 6 of the project. Here again, there is a slightly difference, for example, between SVN and Git, because here SVN will assign a revision number to all the project. So it means here, for example, the zero version of the project has nothing inside. The one you have start to put some file inside, and so on. And it means that here, all the file have the number one, all the file have the number two, all the file have the number three. And we will see that it could be an issue when you want to merge a different version of the project. But yeah, it's important to remember that in SVN, all the project have only one single revision number. But in Git, you will assign a revision number per file. So the revision number is specific to the file. So it's not for the full project, but each file will have version 1, version 2, version 3, and so on. And this difference will have a strong impact on the collaboration, especially when you will create a different version of the project. And you will see that it's much more easier than to merge a branch with Git, because you know what is the latest version of each file one by one. But in SVN, you don't know. You just know the revision number for the full project. And you cannot compare, or you have to compare the file one by one to know which one is the more recent and which one is the more old one. So the interesting thing that you can do now with this historic management is to do some branch, create new branch of the project. So the idea is you have one branch that is the linear version of your project. So you have revision 1, 2, 3, 4 here. But at some point, maybe you will want to test some new feature or to do some new modification. And you don't want to break this one. So you want to keep this one safe. And you will create a new branch here where you will do some additional test, some additional modification, or include new feature without breaking the full project. So for example, in SVN, they will make a hard copy of all the repositories. So that's why in SVN, when you start to doing some different branch, it start to be a bit difficult to recover to a single project, because you will have you will work on two different copies of the project. But with Git, it will make a link with a particular state of the file. So it knows that in this branch, you are revision 6, 7, and 8 of some file. And in this one, you move to revision 9, 10, and 12. And in that case, it avoids to create issue between the file. Because the next thing that you will want to do, maybe at some point, is to merge this branch. Because you have integrated a new feature, and you discover that it's worked great, it's working very well, and you will want to integrate it in the main project, maybe. So then you will need to merge a branch together, and it's quite easy to achieve with Git, but with SVN it's quite complex. So that because you have created two very different copies of the project. So here you have an example, for example, where you have the main branch of the project. You have a branch here where you develop new feature, and you can also have a branch where you fix the bug. And for example, here you discover a bug, so someone will create a new branch to work on fixing this bug. So he will fix the bug here, and maybe then he will be able to integrate the bug fixed in the main project, and also integrate the bug fixed in the branch of the one that is developing new features. And in that way, you can so if you can merge branch, you can integrate new version of the project together. Of course, you could have also some conflict time to time, so you could have to fix this conflict when you are doing a merge. So and here again, this branch system will help you to create a very complex scenario. And here, it's a classical organization of branches when you are doing a version control system and when you are doing software development. So this one is, I think, the really a classical example. So you will have a main branch here that is like the branch, what we call master branch, that is the branch where you will do the release of the project. So you start maybe from this version of the project. You are doing a tag to say that this is the current version of the project. Now you will want to develop some new feature of this project. Of course, you don't want to modify the working version of the project and let this working version of the project available to everyone. So you will create a new branch here that is called the develop branch, where you will start to do some small additional feature or small development on your project. So you have the develop branch here, you work on the project. Maybe then you will want to test some new feature, so you will add a feature branch here, like this purple or pink branch here. So here you could have a major feature that you are developing it really for now. So you can develop it, and when it's done, you integrate them. But you can also have some more exploratory development for later feature. You start to try to develop some new feature. You don't have any idea of if they will be incorporated very soon or later, but it's more experimental. You try to develop things. So in that case, you can create a specific branch for this new feature. So you have the development branch, a new feature branch. So one could be incorporated quite quickly, and some other could be incorporated very later. You have also a branch for a bug. You can have a special branch for bugs. So if someone discovers a bug in the master version here, you can create a branch, you fix this bug, you test it, and you fix the bug in a new version of the project here. And of course, you will also try to integrate this bug fix in the development branch to avoid to develop on a bad version of the project. And the last thing maybe here that you can do is you can do a specific branch for release. So when you have incorporate your latest feature, you feel like your project is ready for creating a new release of the project, then you can create a specific branch for the release. So you grab the current development version, you make a branch from this current version of the project, development version of the project. And you start to maybe test it, try to do some tests, verify that everything is working well. You could maybe find a few bugs. So in that case, you have to fix these few bugs. Of course, you incorporate the bugs fixed in the development branch. And as soon as it's ready, you feel like it's very ready, you have done all the tests and all the bug correction, you can create a new release as it's done here. And you can continue and so on. So I think this is like the classical way to organize a big project with a version control software when you can do a branch. The last thing you can do with that is you could have people that work on, of course, on different branches. So and branches can be synchronized, we say, between users. So it's an example here, or you could have communication between some user, and it's quite useful also to protect people of doing bad modification. So for example, here we have the full project here. We have two people that could be maybe more senior developer or head of the project that share the full version of the project. So these two, Alice and David here, have the exact same version than the full version of the project. But you can have some more junior developers that will only have a few branches of the project. So we see that, for example, here, Bob here only have the development branch and a feature branch. So we can guess that maybe Bob is only working on this small feature here. And in that way, we are sure that he doesn't break the full project. And maybe when he has done some modification on the project, he can first ask Alice to test this modification. And when it's ready, either Alice or Bob can integrate it in the full project. But maybe they can test together this new feature first before integrating them. We can see here that this user here is more probably working on the bug fix here, because he only has a development branch and the release branch here. So this guy is maybe working on the latest release. He does not develop any new feature, so he doesn't need to access to the new feature. It's also interesting because if the bug, for example, is breaking some stuff in the feature branch, it will not impact the work of this user here, because he even don't know about this feature branch. So then in that way, you can split the work of the different user. So this one is working on the maybe release, so he could also communicate and test stuff with this with this boss, and then he can incorporate his work on the original version of the project. So it's a good way to split the work among people and avoid that they disturb each other when they are working on different parts of the project. And maybe one last thing about version control software. More and more now, they have a web interface where you can control additional parameters. Like you can manage a user access right, so you can give access to some part of the project or some branch of the project. You can manage branches and access to branches. You can review modification and different versions. So maybe when someone will submit a new version, you will be able to review it, mark some comments. So you have some really additional feature on for communication, and so you will mark modification. You will sometimes even give a grade to the modification, saying this is a very good modification, this is, I'm not so sure about this modification, or this is a bad modification. Maybe another developer can come and review this kind of thing. So I visit, for example, some intern in some company, and it was part of the job to review modification done on the Git. So each developer in the company has to spend time to review modification done by the other and grade them. And at the end, the modification with the better grade get incorporated, and the one with lowest grade did not get incorporated. This web interface could be used also to track bugs. So if someone finds a bug, he can notify everybody about the bug. You can create, of course, documentation for the project and add social network functionalities, like to maybe advertise your new feature or this kind of thing. So, of course, for small projects, it's not that useful. But if you are very, for example, open source project with, 100 of developers, then it starts to be very interesting to have this kind of collaborative features. So some well-known things are GitLab or GitHub. Maybe you heard about them, that are based on the Git version control system, but add new functionalities for collaboration. So I stop here for version control, and maybe I will talk about continuous integration, and maybe we'll do a small breaks after that. So the idea of continuous integration is a bit in the same spirit that what we saw before. It's to merge the work of several developers and do some tests in that case. So the goal, so integration is the fact of merging the work of several developers. So we saw that version control can help to do that. But sometimes we want to do some additional thing, like we want to test the modification from the beginning. So we want to retest the full project from the beginning. We want to detect integration problem at an early stage. We want to avoid fastidious integration because we saw like the easy case, or a few developers do some modification and try to merge them. But if you have many, many people that are working on the same project, you could have a lot of modification and a lot of conflict to manage at the same time. And we always want to have a version of the system that is running. So it's good if you need to do some tests on the system, if you want to do some demo or discuss with customer, if you have some customer visiting, you doesn't want to wait that some developer finish their modification to be able to do a demo. So you always want to have a proper version of the project that is available and working.
So in that case, you can use continuous integration. So the principle of continuous integration, of course, it's working based on version control repository. So you have a bit similar to what we saw before. You have a version control repository here. So you could have a user that develop, create modifications, send them to the server, and retrieve modification for the server, exactly the same as we saw before for version control. But you will add also a continuous integration system that will do automatic and fast build of the project. So it will do the compilation of the project. So time to it could be as each time a developer send a new version or send some modification on the server, it will automatically send them to the continuous integration system to do some additional tests. So you will first test that everything is compiling. You can do some auto-testing also here. You can, so you could have some automated tests that will run on the server. And so you could do, so usually, in this kind of system, developers are asked to do at least one commit every day. So at the end of the day, they send the lightest version of the work, and it's tested on the full system. And each time there is a commit, so it's what I was saying, you do some tests on this continuous integration system. So you could also do some automatic deployment on different, for example, operating system. So maybe this continuous integration system could have several computers, one on Linux, one on Windows, one on macOS. And as soon as you send some version of the code, it will try to do the test on this different operating system or different architecture of computer and so on. With this system, you also have an executable version of the project available on this computer, on this different computer. So it's good also if you want to do some demo on some additional tests. And the last thing is that you will receive also some build and test result that will be sent to all developers. So in this way, everybody know the build state of the project. So it's good to know if the project is working or not working properly at the current time. So it's good for also as a feedback for collaboration, because you want to know in that case sometime who is the one that is sending the commit. So if something breaks, you want to know who is breaking the project. So in developer teams, sometimes they have some like small habits that help them to do that. For example, they could have a token on the desk of the person that build. So they can put, I saw a paper where they were talking about a rubber chicken that they put on the desk of the person that is sending the commit. And so if you know if something breaks, it's the guy with the rubber chicken on his table that is breaking the project. You can make a sound when the build is valid. We'll see that you can have a web page of the integration server that will show you the current status and the current result from the test. You could have a bubble light. I found this one funny. So it's in the office of the developer. It's green as soon as all the tests are working well. And as soon as one test breaks, the red bubble light start to light up. And so, of course, you have to try to fix it as fast as possible to avoid that it become very red. And you also have a wall board. So usually now in developers teams, they have a big screen in the room where you have the current status of the integrating server. So with green and red light that show you the different status of the test on the server. So this is also very good to get feedback for collaboration. So I think we will do a small break now, and after the break we will talk more about the social aspect of software development and the different software development methods to work in teams.